The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Okay, so why do people love my total body bar workouts? Because they work. My clients get an amazing workout and great results. I'm Andrea Rogers, professional dancer and trainer, and my extend bar classes are fun, only 30 minutes, and proven to help you get sculpted, lean, and strong. And right now, you can stream my extend bar classes for free on the Beachbody On Demand app. See how effective these workouts truly are. Start for free today at beachbody.com.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons. And if you miss this podcast, you better be dead or in jail. And if you're in jail, break out. Anyways, this is the Leisure Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. I am your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here? Actually, for the first time, who else is here?
Brett Elston.
Hey, Brett.
Dramatic pause.
He's trying to win a world record for the slowest introduction
it
ever.
It could have been anybody.
No, stop it! Brett, who just recently joined the Leisure Time Podcast Network.
Yeah, officially, yes. We've been farting around here for 4 years now. And, I mean, if you didn't know listening, we go back to probably 2007, 2008 in various forms. So
I keep hearing it's 08 from people who are paying attention, who are better with dates.
Who lived through their lives and recall.
And I'm Henry Gilbert.
And who else do we got?
Oh, me, Christopher Antista.
Right.
Hi.
Well, I feel like Brett should give a quick, like, Simpsons biography.
Yeah, who are you, Brett? And, I mean, like, why do you deserve to be here, number one?
I mean, it's the same as everybody else. Like, watch the Christmas special, like, day one, and then watch that VHS over and over. And then when season one began, taped them, watched them again. And then by the time it hit syndication, syndication for reruns, around season three, four, whatever, just them seeing it 3 times a day. And for years at a time.
I talk a lot about speaking, like using Simpsons reference as a language. When I first left my hometown and my hometown friends, Brett was the first one who spoke it.
Who spoke Simpsons.
Yeah,
are you fluent in Simpsons? I am too.
And it's weird because I left a group of friends when I moved out to California, like 3 or 4 friends who we could just do that thing. Where you
Mr. Show and Simpsons references.
A random
all day
line,
long.
Mr. Show and Simpsons references. But Simpsons,
saying
like,
them all day long.
We were just talking about like... The degree to which Simpsons infiltrated is so beyond any other popular show like Seinfeld or Friends or whatever. But then I went to Radar and then like you guys were like, oh, you guys do it too. And then just from there, I've just always met more and more people who I'm like, oh, yeah, we can do this.
Yeah. So. It's funny. Quoting The Simpsons has become the new quoting Monty Python, which was made fun of a lot in the 90s.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Simpsons. On The Simpsons.
On The Simpsons, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
They sabotaged themselves. So today's episode is Bart the Daredevil, which aired on December 6, 1990.
A date that we'll live in.
Just 2 days after the release of Simpsons Sing the Blues.
Oh, boy. So this day in Simpsons history.
Oh, my God.
Buddy.
This is the best one.
This day in Simpsons history, Coke and Pepsi announced they're getting into the recycling game. Dr. Jack Kevorkian is charged with first-degree murder for his role in a woman's assisted suicide. And the Do the Bartman video is debuted to the world.
Wow.
At the end of this episode, correct?
I will say that there's a character in here who I have never seen.
In the video or in Bart the
in
Daredevil?
In Bart the Daredevil. Because this had the music video attached to it, they cut out an entire like resolution.
No, when I watched this, there were about 4 jokes I thought, oh, I never saw that joke.
I have a clip of we'll probably get to them, but like okay. First of all, this episode is all about one thing and one thing only.
That's right.
When the original version, like I said, I started taping the show's first run this year.
Yeah.
They get caught in Truckosaurus's mouth.
Yeah.
And with the Do the Bartman video, the commercial came back and they're just sitting in the stands. It cuts from them just being stuck in Truckosaurus's mouth, and like so. When
no,
I see this,
exactly.
It's still really
they get
weird.
Wrenched out of it, but and the guy writes him a check. No, I taped the same thing. They get wrenched out, and the guy writes him a check, but then they're in the stand.
They're not given the bottle of champagne. That's
no the champagne. I didn't remember, but the check I remember.
This guy,
Mr. Simpson. I'm Leo G. Clark, inventor, owner, and operator of Truckosaurus. Let me just say that
Well, Truckosaurus feels very badly about what happened, and everyone here at Team Truckosaurus would like you to enjoy this half bottle of domestic champagne for being such good sports.
Mm, well, thank you.
So if you're like me and you had the tape of the first run episode, you never saw that character ever, and he's never come back in anything.
No, it feels like his, Frank's uncle or something.
He has a name. His name is Leo.
That line I don't remember, but the check when she's like, we're going to write you a check for $100 or whatever it is. And like,
never
that's
saw
about, Leo that's G, just about cover.
Leo G. Clark is the name of a Gary Shandling writer that the writers of this episode worked with, and that's why it's so specific.
Okay,
well, so what's the plot of this?
Wait, do we need to talk about Do the Bartman first?
Should we start?
Probably,
with
yeah.
Right. Like,
so Do the Bartman... It was
them fulfilling the Go Calypso thing like before they
It was quite an event, and the creation of it, according to Mac Rating, is that he got a call from one Michael Jackson who said, "I love," this is the quote they say in the commentaries, "I love Bart, I want to give him a hit song." And so he writes this song or co-writes this song because he's a credited co-writer. But Michael Jackson's name isn't even on it because he was under contract elsewhere. So he writes this song. He's name checked in the song, too. Michael Jackson's name is said in the song. And
Bart had already been in the Do the Right Thing, the Black and White video.
That would be a year later.
Okay.
Yeah, that was 91, Black and White would come in season three.
We'll get there, probably in a couple months.
But the video was directed by Brad Bird.
Oh, yeah.
It actually, listening to his commentary on the making of the video sounded like it was hell. It sounded like hell for him.
Yeah, well, the way they describe it is that, like, they thought it was just going to be like a normal episode, but it's much more animated. It is a, in terms of The Simpsons, a lavish musical number.
It is animated in a way that seems off because it's so fluid. It's the Babysitter Bandit stuff, like we talked
about earlier. Yeah.
It's theatrical level animation, and that Brad Bird says they laid it out in 2 days, which is so fast for that.
Oh, for sure.
Reading that Ren and Stimpy book you gave me, you can lay something out in 2 days?
And then he had to flew to Budapest, Hungary, because that was the animation company they sourced it out
to. That's right, yeah.
And he said when he told them, no, this is going to be better animated than the TV show, he said that their faces turned white. And they were like,
and it went,
and then he barely...
Let's be glad now. This is my third CD, and oh man.
I think it was my sister's first CD.
Got a lot of
these. I had a cassette of this. I didn't actually
get it. He had to, like, physically get the cassette, like, in the very last minute they shifted the thing. It was hell for Brad Bird. He hated it.
This album is hilarious. We did an entire Laser Time listening party. We were listening not only this,
Simpsons Sing the Blaz.
Sing the Blaz.
It's a great episode.
After that, there's an album that was recorded right afterwards, but not released for another 13 years.
And it should have never been released.
It's insane. That one feels like the real joke. This, I guess, The Simpsons, they don't know what The Simpsons is, who they are. Yeah, they're finding their legs and their voice.
It's that weird period where it's like, here's an arcade game and an album, and all this stuff is based on one
season.
All
the songs in the album are based off of like one or two lines from like 20 previous episodes.
That's right. And they tell you how to do the Bartman, but has it ever demonstrated for you in any way? Like, I know how to do the Urkel.
Let your feet... Yeah, Bob.
Well, I mean, they tell you, but is it ever demonstrated via the video?
Yeah, the Urkel.
They do their arms back like it looks more like
a thriller.
You remember Homer popping out of the manhole and yelling?
I do.
So this is probably post Do the Urkel, then, right?
It is probably like a year
because
later.
I think for some reason I tie that into the Friday that Ninja Turtles. The 1990 came out. I remember coming home and Do the Urkel was on TV.
That'll be the next episode.
I mean, 89 I watched this video over and over and over again off my thing, especially to pause it for all the quick cuts at the end when everybody's dancing. It was the best animation The Simpsons had ever had to that point.
And for
a
21st century problem, Do the Bartman is the first thing that got me a copyright flag on YouTube. Yes. Yes. Your video is blocked worldwide.
What an occasion.
And also, I think, the other memory I have of this is, so I taped it off of TV, but the Bartman was getting so big that they played it on the Fox Kids Saturday morning block the next that at the same time too, and they bleeped out the dirty words, like the one that was about to come up there. Oh, my ears. He's playing her damn saxophone. They bleeped out the damn.
Let me see.
Oh.
Every time you do it, you can't prove anything. Remember how many times Bart said that? Because it was once.
Yeah.
Because it was once, except on the album.
Well, I mean, Deep, Deep Trouble is even more full of just, like, clips that are never said again.
Well, I guess we should get in the regular episode.
So we already jumped into it. So this episode begins with Bart and Homer both watching a monster truck rally commercial at the same time. And there's a sort of darkness to this, in that you realize Bart is Homer and Homer is Bart. And Bart will grow up to be Homer for as much as he despises him, which I love. Like, just like the how parallel these characters are operating on, like, just watching this one
commercial. I also like that they're watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, is losing prestige over the years, but still had very little at that point. A father and son watching wrestling. Like,
but also just the idea that, like, every time I watch one of the older episodes again, I'm like, man, he really does just hang out at Moe's.
Yes.
Like, Bart, your children are at home, and presumably their whole family's there, and you're just like, I'm just at a bar.
You're drinking with degenerates.
Yeah.
Is he there, like, seven, or when is he there?
I got a clip of the commercial, because I love it so much.
This is so good.
This Saturday, for one night only, your life will be changed forever. Saturday at the Springfield Speedway. Don Crusher Woodard, John the Skunk Tremaine, and the team from the Lot Suit, Dirt Riding Duck Masters, and the year's biggest Monster Truck Rally. One night only.
Bless the amazing,
the astounding, the unbelievable Truckosaurus.
20 tons and 4 stories of car-crunching, fire-breathing, prehistoric insanity.
Oh! One night only.
At the Springfield Speedway,
right? This Saturday. If you miss this, you'd better be dead or in jail.
And if you're in jail, break out.
Be there.
That is one of those phrases that stuck with me for years.
I love the animation, too. The Bart is so full of energy. Mm-hmm. He's like, Truckosaurus, I have to do something. He just runs outside and looks around for a second like, what do I do with all this excitement?
I must
about
see this
Truckosaurus?
Thing.
And Homer's experiencing the same thing at Moe's Bar. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And I did have as a note, for some reason, their room has an extra wall in the sequence. I have no idea why.
In the living room?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an extra wall there.
What I found funny was, like, no matter where you were in America, these commercials were the same. I don't know if it was the same, like, promotional company, but, like, are these commercials still in circulation? Are they still the same kind of tone?
No, maybe the last vestige of that is that, like, local car commercials,
like dealerships.
Yeah, still have the same narrative.
Those are still
I'm Bill,
like,
and
come
I have
on down to blah blah blah.
Come you won't beat our prices.
Even these still are basically the same, because like, I'll see them when I'm home occasionally.
Okay,
and it's still like, it's a drag race. It's the from hell, and you better get out here Saturday at the Show Me Center. And
I want to know if, like, Saturday, or Sunday is still the common refrain.
I have not heard that, but it's definitely the agitated man threatening you to go to the...
Before I forget, I'm pitching a commercial for the show that just says, Wednesday! Talking Simpsons. Better be dead or in jail.
Did you also notice that the wrestling announcer was the same mini-golf announcer?
Yeah, we don't see him, but it's the one guy who was doing commentary during the mini-golf.
Why? He's the referee permitted.
Really? The hyper-articulate, overexcited Brit?
He has like 2 lines in this. Wow, so are we at the Monster Truck Rally yet?
I have a couple more clips. Okay. I love his family announcement.
I have an announcement to make. As a family growth thing, Bart and I think we should all go to the Monster Truck Rally this Saturday.
Aren't you forgetting something?
Monster Truck Rally, growth thing. No, I don't think so.
Lisa's recital is Saturday night.
I'll be playing my first solo. If you miss it on Saturday, I'd advise you to start looking for a child therapist on Sunday.
That's such a great, like, as a kid, with a line that didn't register, I'm like, oh, because she'll be mad. And then as an adult, I'm like, oh, man.
But just the line as a family growth thing.
Yeah.
Family growth thing to do what I want to do.
That was kind of the mini golf excuse in the last episode we did. Or and 2 episodes ago.
Because this is all kind of unimportant. It's all about getting them a Monster Truck Rally. But one, I admire that somebody orchestrated bad music just for this episode.
Oh, no, they mentioned that in the
commentary
that...
Like, but these are the actual instruments playing poorly.
No, they had to do multiple takes because Alf Clausen's orchestra did it too well. They're like, no, really, you're children. You're acting as you're playing.
And the last thing before we get to the Monster Truck Rally is, and we can dispute this, my line of the show.
That's the joke.
How much longer was Sherbert planning on making this piece of junk?
Oh my, Lisa was wonderful. She certainly has come a long way with her fingering.
Jesus, Flanders, come on.
I feel like he calls a symphony a piece of junk.
Yeah. Well, then I like his comeback to that when Flanders is crying. See, this is another like childhood to adult thing, where as a kid, I'm like, Flanders, what a wiener, crying as his kids playing an instrument well. And then Homer's like, well, he's not that bad.
I don't know when
But then as an adult who now, as I get older, I lose all the testosterone and everything makes me cry. I'm like, oh yeah, I can totally see why your son,
you
who you've watched
for,
grow
you
up.
For the last episode, but like that deal he's signing with Homer and the putting green is like, there's no way I wouldn't be Flanders. Can we please not call them losers? They're children.
I loved Homer bursting into tears. It felt like the first time Homer's gone just like, I can't do what I want. Blah. Oh, cruel fate. Why do you mock me?
Oh, yeah.
I completely erased the musical from my memories of this episode. Like, I forgot them going to the concert and, you know, Skinner doing the jokes he did back in
Sherbert. Everybody calls him Sherbert.
Sherbert.
And also, I thought it was really cute, the animation of Homer lifting up Lisa and running back to make her.
Yeah,
it was
a very cartoony moment. Yeah.
It was very touching. I felt it was touching when Lisa said, "I reached him."
That's great. Like, again, because as like a 9-year-old, I didn't quite get what that meant.
And I don't even think Homer is humming the song that was being played, just like a random classical song. Like,
but that was so great.
Hong Kong.
And that sequence in general is like filled with several colors I don't think the Simpsons ever used again. There's the driving sequence on the way there. And it looks like they're passing a city that is not in Springfield.
And then like we're hit. Always sounds like his mouth is full. Like, damn, no sprouts.
But they get to the monster truck rally. I have a clip. Again, I captured these a while ago. Miss Monster.
Majestic Undercoating is proud to present Miss Monster.
Wow, a woman mud pole driver.
Another barrier broken. Right on, sister!
That joke, that again, was not in my VHS version of it. That joke wasn't there. Or, again, also with Leah G. Clark. But so, I mean, the biggest, what an act break it was. They're being attacked by Truckosaurus. Like, they drive in there, and Truckosaurus is right there and is about to eat them.
Yes.
I think it's like, even on the commentary, they point out, like, Truckosaurus is not a living thing. Like, this is an orchestrated event. He would not just pick up a random car and try to eat it.
Yeah, at best.
Have you ever seen one of those things? Because they have one called Robosaurus, I believe, that tours around the country.
I think he has
like 1,100 wires sticking out the back attached to three rednecks. So it's kind of impossible not to see who would be to blame for that.
They mentioned in the commentary that whatever they were inspired by...
It was called Megasaurus.
They were threatened to be sued by them. And then they also, but it came to be nothing. And then they also said that, like, Truckosaurus is the better name anyway. We were so happy they didn't call it Truckosaurus because that's the better name.
Who do they think they are? Choose Your Own Adventure? That's way too inside baseball. Bonus time, ladies and gentlemen.
I think I saw this before I saw a real life Truckosaurus. But then when I did, I was just freaking out. I'm like, it's the thing from the show. Will it eat a family?
Well, never would.
And I also wrote a note that, like, the Simpsons could have sued for millions. Like, they would have had them just taking that check of, like, no, you almost, this giant corporation nearly murdered you. You could get a lot of money out of them.
I also feel like this moment is kind of what, this is a show the first few seasons I would actually watch with my dad, who didn't watch, you know,
we didn't like the same things.
Yeah, a parent would see a cartoon and be like, that's clearly a kid's thing. But I specifically remember this episode, it being about a dad wanting to do something fun and trying to, like, come on, the whole family should get in. Immediately your dad is like, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
And I know the feeling of wanting to go watch trucks bang into each other and nobody else wants to.
Let me ask you this clip. Maybe your dad was also relating to this.
No chance I don't survive. Let me just say, seatbelts save lives, so buckle up.
See, introduction to Captain Lance Murdoch.
So good.
Well, have you ever read about Evel Knievel? Yeah.
Yes, I found it's... Okay, so, like, these are the Simpsons writers writing about what they experienced as kids in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And entertainment was so primitive that carnival shows could be televised as a huge event, like a guy jumping over something, and that's what Evel Knievel was. Like, an incredibly stupid man who did these insane things, but survived.
Yes, but he was so world-famous. There are two Evel Knievel movies.
I've seen one of them, the Earth Tracks.
One of them is either starring him, and another person is him playing Evel Knievel still alive. And they're making another one. He was a household name as a daredevil.
We know who he is.
I know.
He's before our time.
But it was we grew up with Super Dave, who was a parody of Evel Knievel. But we grew up with no Evel Knievel analog. At best, we have Johnny Knoxville. But that works because we know they're not superheroes, and we delight in them failing in stunts.
Are there modern... I mean, David Blaine, I'm guessing. What has he done?
Magicians.
Just to see someone... No, Fox used to broadcast stuff like that, like Dennis Rodman bungeeing out of a plane, but it's like, it's still just Dennis Rodman. He's not famous for being a daredevil. Yeah. We didn't grow up with daredevils.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or that, what was that Joe Rogan show? Fear Factor.
Fear Factor,
they do stunts like that.
It's the jackass factor, the idea that this is supposed to sting.
Yeah, it's weird that now.
It wasn't a professional.
Somewhere in the last 20 years, 30 years, it became more like we delight in, like, the failure. It's Wipeout, it's America's Funniest Home Videos.
Right,
like, it's people eating it all the time.
People wanted to see Evel Knievel succeed, and Captain Lance Murdoch Murdoch is just a great character.
Did Lance Murdoch make that change because of his failure? You wanted to, he, you see him hurt every time. Like, he became a running joke. Lance Murdoch has only appeared a handful of times. His most recent, I looked this up, was in season 18.
Oh, wow.
Lance Murdoch appeared in that, but he... Like, I think the next time you see him is when he goes to Busch Garden.
Or, oh, yeah,
sorry,
Duff Garden.
I shouldn't knock. I should knock Johnny Knoxville. I did just read that he has a catheter full time from a stunt that went bad.
Whoa!
Wow.
Oh,
Jesus Christ!
Well, had any of you guys? I'd been to a monster truck rally before. Had any of you guys?
I think
been
my
to?
Parents oh, yeah. probably shied away. I know I
oh,
asked.
Yeah, you know, I
dude,
went
there
after.
Was a Care Bears monster truck rally in my
wow.
hometown.
That's a weird.
I really
mesh of
should kick my dad in the dick just for not taking me. Just I had that memory. No, I swear, Lionheart totally jumped that. Bus.
Well, I went to one before Roar! I saw this episode because it was in Arkansas and my family lived in Arkansas, which I lived there till I was 8.
Arkansas,
and
all places.
When we went to it, like it was, this was a very well observed piece about it because you go like, oh, monster trucks, like that's why I wanted to go. I was like, monster trucks, that's fun. You're waiting for monster trucks all night. Like,
yeah,
it's a drag race.
Oh, so there's a giant lead up to it.
Yeah, there's a drag race. There's dirt stuff. Bikes that go in a circle. There's
like, let me know like if I'm overstepping my bounds. Tractor pull.
Oh, man. I mean, I didn't see a tractor pull.
Yes,
that's more of a count. That's more of a count if fair.
I don't actually know what that is.
I don't know either. what are they pulling and why?
A car with a ton of engines.
If there's a tractor pull, then there's also someone carving things with a chainsaw.
Well, and so I found
this is like the Hillbilly Olympics.
So I found out later, fair, this was indoors, and I remember as a kid thinking, this is very loud. And that's the one joke in The Simpsons they didn't make of like how what a cacophony it is. My mom later told me that she got tinnitus from that, and she has had it the rest of her life.
Wow.
Like, that she always said, I always wondered, why does she sleep with a TV on or something?
No, I have it super bad, and I've always wondered, like, is that... Because I remember, even as a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, I'm like, this is too loud.
Yes.
Like,
it's all Gravedigger's fault.
Yeah, man.
Or Bigfoot.
I wish Gravedigger was there.
Man, there is a clip of like a straight-to-video that you paid like $39.99 for, a video documentary of Bigfoot from like 1991.
No, I read that.
With so much reverence, it is hysterical.
Did Hulk Hogan ever ride in Bigfoot? Mm. I feel like that's just the 80s
Hogan
incarnate,
Hogan owned
right?
his own... monster truck. There was a sumo monster truck
and
battle
had his
on
arms?
Episode of it had his arms on it on Halloween Havoc 95.
That's super Bigfoot later though.
Had its own NES game too, correct?
It did.
Yeah, Jesus. Well,
it was
okay.
on his own NES cartoon show.
Yes,
Power
he was.
Art Power.
With yes, Quark,
with
the chilled
with
tomato
Quark and one of the arch rivals,
Video Power. That's right.
Video
right.
Power. Yeah. yeah.
So we're gonna meet Captain Lance Murdoch, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to get back on track here. And he's doing a stunt, and the stunt is jumping a tank full of
Jesus, this
sharks, eels, piranha, alligators, and a lion.
The lion killed me.
That's
as a kid.
One of the greatest jokes.
Full-grown
African
history. Lion.
Just like the claw and the face coming out as they announce
and,
it.
And it's the fact that it's the lion that gets it. Yes. It's not any of the other items.
Well, the lion just like, well, I guess I'm swimming now, and then also. That half of those things would have eaten the other half. They don't coexist.
Well, then like the ambient noise of like when all the lights go down and you like the snake goes by and the shark fin goes by and the growl of the lion like doggy paddling past.
But seeing the deathly moves of Lance Murdoch like inspired Bart to be a daredevil himself.
Dad, I want to be a daredevil.
Kids say such stupid things.
Again, Homer ignoring the most obvious, I guess, cry for help.
Did any of you do stuff like that as kids? Because I did.
I really didn't. I stood on a skateboard once and was like, this is not for me. Like,
oh, no. Yeah, we built a ramp into like a soft ditch and would like launch ourselves from a neighbor's driveway. And I'm surprised I wasn't more hurt as a kid because we did kind of delight in stuff like this.
I never like rode things, but like we lived in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
so,
so do we.
It was like, I would just like, I bet I can jump across that, smash. Mm-hmm. I bet I can climb this tree and then jump out of the tree and land in this ditch and I won't get hurt.
It sounds
and
like it's, I met two of my best friends like, I bet I can hit you in the head with a rock. Bitch, you can't! And then, boom, take sides, guerrilla warfare.
Yeah.
And one concussion later and your friends.
No, I got him.
It felt a very Jackass moment when Bart does his skateboard stunt and then hurts himself and then his friends just run away. They're like, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's get... He looks pretty hurt.
And that's exactly what happens. And then we meet for the first time Dr. Hibbert, who is named after Julius Sweeney, by the way.
It is
yes.
They talk about that in the commentary, yeah.
Her name used to be Julia Hibbert. She was married to a comedy writer named, I think, like Steve Hibbert or something like that.
Yeah, he's the Gimp in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think so.
So Julius Hibbert was named after Julia Hibbert.
Wow,
Julia
I didn't
Sweeney.
Know that.
Yeah. So think of Julia Sweeney when you see Dr. Hibbert.
Is there a Groundlings connection?
Well, because she originally had been written as a woman, like it was going to be a female Dr. Hibbert, so it was just going to be Julia Hibbert. And like, nah, we want to make this a Cosby guy.
That's right.
So this is now Julius Hibbert, and that I think Kogan and Wolodarski were in knew her from Groundlings.
There are a lot of characters named after comedy writers in this show, yes. But I want to ask you guys this, like. I feel the joke with Hibbert is that Cosby is like a total goofball, but Hibbert is like stone cold serious.
Sometimes.
Is that what the joke is supposed to be?
But he still makes a lot of jokes, though, doesn't he?
I don't think in this one he doesn't.
Not here, for sure.
It's not till season three that he becomes
the bad doctor,
Yeah,
I never saw him as Cosby until like a couple episodes later.
Yeah.
When he wears the Cosby sweater.
When he wears the sweater. But
that's true. But I think it was a direct, like, here's our black doctor in our show.
I think it was an effort to diversify the show by giving Harry Shearer another black character to voice.
Well, thank God.
And now seeing a Cosby reference on the show feels different than it did a couple years ago.
Those things will not make it a syndication, but here's Hibbert's first appearance.
Mrs. Simpson, Bart tells me he injured himself training for a career in death defiance.
Yes, well, we saw Daredevil last night, and, well, you know, monkey see, monkey do.
I think I know something that might discourage him from this sort of behavior. Bart, in this ward are the children who have been hurt by imitating stunts they saw on television, movies, and the legitimate stage. This boy broke his leg trying to fly like Superman. This boy's brother hit him in the head with a wrench, mimicking a recent TV wrestling match.
Nice callback.
I won't even subject you to the horrors of our Three Stooges ward.
Gee, I never realized TV was such a dangerous influence.
Well, as tragic as all this is, it's a small price to pay for countless hours of top-notch entertainment.
Amen. That's the joke.
See, I love that. Said we debated.
I only caught that the second time I watched it recently, that he just makes light of it all after being stone cold serious about.
Yes, but this is the price
injuries.
You got to pay.
Yeah. Well, because this TV show was briefly saying television is very dangerous, so then he has to go like, well, but still, it's a small price to pay for TV, right?
Since this is season two, there can't be too many instances of this yet, but this is definitely one where it's like this town of Springfield has something happening in it that can't possibly be happening. Like, this many kids can't be injured.
Yes.
Otherwise,
they only exist for a joke.
I see what you're saying.
You're in the Springfield salt flats, and it's like, there's no salt flats. Like,
well, I mean, we're going to see a giant gorge.
Like, it has a gorge in the same episode.
I love the gorge so much. It's beautiful layouts as far as that goes.
Yeah,
like,
it's very Wile E. Coyote.
As far as Simpsons landscapes go, this is probably the best it's ever been, but Bart sees the gorge and decides to jump it.
This thing's pretty gnarly. I bet you could throw a dead body in there and no one would ever find it.
Otto, I'm going to leap over Springfield Gorge on my skateboard.
You know, Bart is the only adult here. I feel I should say something.
What?
Cool.
I made the note that Otto doesn't do much these days. It's again, you see these first couple seasons, you're like, wow, Otto is a real important character.
They
on the
loved
show.
Otto. I think this kind of stoner character was kind of subversive,
kind of
the,
new.
Yeah,
it wasn't as omnipresent on television. I did watch it and notice what song Otto was humming for the first time.
Frankenstein.
It's Foxy Lady.
Oh, Foxy Lady. Got it.
Hey, Otto, can I use that microphone?
Sorry, Bart, dude. It's for emergencies only.
That accent.
I never knew it was Foxy
Lady. I'm sure they had to pay for it. I'm
it
almost
like
positive.
It's too specific, right?
Like, he was humming like Frankenstein, I think, in an earlier episode. I'm sure they paid for it. But Bart does all these stunts throughout the town, and like we hear him, he wants to do the gorge, but then he has to visit Lance Murdoch because Lisa finds out, and she wants to intervene. Like, Bart, you can't do this. Here's someone you need to meet, an adult that will talk some sense into you. But we find out that no adult is sensible in the Simpsons world, right?
Yeah. Mr. Murdoch, my brother is thinking about jumping Springfield Gorge on a skateboard.
Now, let me start by saying, good for you, son. It's always good to see young people taking an interest in danger. Now, a lot of people are going to be telling you you're crazy, and maybe they're right. But the fact of the matter is, bones heal, chicks dig scars, and the United States of America has the best doctor to daredevil ratio in the world.
But Captain Murdoch!
Thanks, Lance.
You're welcome, little partner. On your way out, tell the nurse I'm ready for my sponge bath.
I do another fringe benefit.
I do love when he asks for his autograph.
That's great, yeah.
The animation of the pencil poking through the paper is so like great. So satisfying just to watch.
It lasts forever.
I feel like it's like an early version of the rake joke, but they didn't have the confidence to hold on that shot. Like, they cut to Bart, they cut to an overhead shot of him. But I feel like the later Simpsons would just be like, no, you're going to stare at this man wiggling a pen in his mouth for like 45 seconds. And then you'll like it.
Then it bothers to actually show what he's writing, and it's just incomprehensible garbage.
But I learned the phrase fringe benefit from that.
Yeah,
that's
first time
probably
I heard
true,
it.
Yeah.
It's the benefit of watching Fringe.
I learned the word dividend from 60s Batman. Because Riddler's like, and my investment's pinged.
But it becomes clear to everybody that Bart's going to do this.
Yeah.
And I love... Because when I want to explain like how much I was like Bart, I had the realization that no adult really had any power over me at all. Like, you're grounded. I'm leaving. But you're grounded. I'm still leaving, and you can't stop me. And like, this makes me cringe watching Bart respond to like Homer trying to protect him.
Bart, I forbid you to jump over that gorge.
You can't.
I can and do. Go to your room, Bart. There, I've done it. I'm glad somebody finally stepped in and put an end to this nonsense once and for all.
Hey, man, you could tell me not to do it, but there's no way you can watch me 24 hours a day. And the minute your back is turned, I'm grabbing my skateboard and heading for that gorge.
He's got us, Mark. There's nothing we can do. He's just going to stand.
Well, you're his father. You've got to try and reason with him.
No, that never works. He's a goner.
He just cries immediately. Oh. It was weird when Homer cared, too. Like, this is way before the probably misses his old glasses era.
Even like compared to season like 4, 5, 6, like this is still so sedate and slow and almost a regular family show that occasionally has the rubber band reality that they talk about.
Well, this gets the rubber bandiest
definitely.
Today.
But just the conversations are so like there's no music. Like I'm going to talk. Careful, considered reaction.
Not everything is a joke.
Dumb conversation with a Simpsons nerd, but that Homer is allowed to care in Bart-centric episodes. In Homer-centric episodes, he doesn't care about his family.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
But it's true. Bart eventually leaves because he was just lying to Homer, saying he'll never do it again.
So it's a wonderful joke.
Yeah, but there's something that, like, it's a joke that I never understood, and I wrote it down because Homer is going to play catch with Bart, and he goes up to the room and finds him missing. Mm. And he's like, oh, God damn it! But then he's like, I was going to play pickle with him.
What is pickle? Pickle Bob.
I looked it up.
It's a baseball.
Well, I figured that.
You throw it back and forth.
For some reason, is it just called pickle? Because I thought it was like pickle in a dish, which is also keep away. I don't know
you need a third person for that.
I guess.
Have they played that with a dog?
I don't know what would happen, but I guess I was going to play pickle with him.
I never got that.
Different connotations in a post-Jared Fogle world.
It must be pickle in a dish or pickle in the middle, according to Wikipedia. Somebody, please phone in. Tell us what this joke means.
So when Bart shows up and for the kids, I noticed one fuck-up they couldn't reshoot or whatever was when Nelson says, I thought he said noon, Milhouse does the same mouth movements. Like, the animators must have thought both these characters say these words. And so they say it at the same time.
Is that something two separate characters would say in unison?
That must be like a miscommunication with Korea, it seems like, yeah.
Well, normally that stuff doesn't stay in the broadcast version.
Or they fix it later on?
Yeah, retakes.
I did notice that at some point, Wendell is on the bus holding his stomach. That's my only super.
Yeah, that's like the last one of the
last Wendell appearances.
Yeah, it's just like he'll just be in the corner doing his one character joke.
One gag I remember from this that it was when Lisa is like trying to, I guess, talk about this gorge jump, and she mentions, by the way, Bart's going to do this, and, you know, despite all the extra attention I would receive, I would probably miss you as a brother. Yeah. As a kid, I'm just like, yeah, okay, but then now looking back, it's like, for an 8-year-old girl to, like, be like, well, let me consider if you died, man, I would be the only kid here.
She does recognize the benefits.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, this is ostensibly a kid show.
I remember when, after my sister was born, that was the only thing I wanted, for her to go away and me to get all the attention again.
I was the second kid, so... Yeah.
But in Dead Putting Society, she says she values the fact that Homer does not care about her and her pastime, so... That could be why she wants to keep Bart alive.
But Homer catches up to Bart at the gorge and tries to prevent him from doing it, but how does he do that?
He wants to do it himself.
He has to do himself.
Boy, I tried ordering you, I tried punishing you, and God help me, I even tried reasoning with you, and the only thing left for me to do is jump the gorge myself.
What? Why?
Because that way you'll see what it's like to witness a family member stupidly risking his life for no good reason.
But, Dad, you'll never make it.
Don't you think I know that?
I still look at this as, like, really bold. Do you think he really planned to do it?
It was Homer bluffing in this case. I can't tell.
He sounds pretty desperate.
Yeah.
I think he was. Hmm?
Because,
yeah.
like, it is certain death. Like, I don't think Homer knows he's a cartoon character yet.
Right. Yeah.
Until this solidifies
this
it,
This is the moment. Yeah, I wrote it on here. This is the most replayed moment in The Simpsons, maybe, or one of the top ones, but that this is when Homer became a cartoon. Like, this was the moment where he has a Wile E. Coyote thing, and I think they justify it by having his damage be so horrific. They're like, see, this isn't Wile E. Coyote because he's not fine, but no, he's fine next week, guys.
He should be a quadriplegic or like a head in a jar or something.
These are bad sound clips, but I think this is one of the funniest moments in Simpsons history.
Yeah.
When you talk about watching with your dad, I remember my dad losing his mind during this whole sequence very vividly.
I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. This is the greatest thrill of my life. I'm king of the world. Woohoo! Woohoo!
Falls for so long. So much blood.
For so long. And they had to, like, remove the footage from that, didn't they? They replaced it with a static shot of the kids watching him fall because it was...
For reruns, yes, because it was too crappy.
You see, like, Homer hitting every, like, cliff embankment on the
way down.
And
you can see, like dings will form in his head. And he falls. The way he falls is, like, how every Family Guy character falls now. Arm behind the back, leg twisted the wrong way.
The most painful position.
As an 8-year-old, it kind of scared me, too. I was like, this is the most violent cartoon I've ever seen, more so than Itchy and Scratchy.
It was this moment, and I know this isn't going to work, but this moment to me is one of the funniest moments in Simpsons history.
Yeah. Oh, poor Homer. Immediately! Just hit.
I wonder how this doesn't pick up on audio, but I can see everything.
Oh, yeah, the ambulance smashing into the tree.
I just wonder how they convinced him, like, you know what would be even better? If he fell again. Like, in the writer's room, like, they would be like, no, that's too much like a cartoon.
No, I bet there was an argument that they went too far.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, no.
No farther.
There are several Simpsons episodes, I think, that end with just, like, fuck the ending. Here's what we want to do. And I think this is the first one where it's like, there's no resolution, and they're just a painful gag, and then, like, a one-liner, and then, like, cut to black immediately.
The line is just like, you think you got a bad
try raising my kids. Yeah, you think you've got guts, pal.
Credits.
When Homer is in a full, like, his full body cast, like, years. It will take years of physical therapy for him to come back from that.
And so. I also will point out, in terms of Simpsons canon, in the Simpsons movie, they move past the gorge and the ambulance is still there, crashed up against the tree.
No, they do the jump correctly on the motorcycle.
Oh, that's right. They do it correctly on the motorcycle.
Yeah, it's part of their fall. They finish the jump. They go past the motorcycle.
Nice to have a clip of that.
It's just been one long and broken cycle.
Somebody throw the goddamn bomb!
God, I'm good.
That's a what a classic.
Thank God that's on the soundboard and I can't take it off.
So, Bob, you're right. This episode has kind of hallmarks of what I would call less good Simpsons episodes, that it takes a very long time to get to the plot, which seemingly the plot is Bart wanting to be a daredevil.
It really does,
And that it ends with a real F you, like, we wrote ourselves into a corner, it's over, goodbye.
But are we seeing that a lot, like, with that and Dance and Homer? Like, these are the first times they do these things, they repeat these processes.
But it's like, if it was any given sitcom, it would have been like, the dad shows up and then they have the Full House moment and then they don't jump. And it's a cartoon, so the audience probably wants to see
something. We need payoff.
They could have pulled in James L. Brooks to do an ending like what will happen in the next episode, but they didn't, and I'm glad. There's no, like, tearful reunion at the gorge. Don't do it. It's just like, no, screw you. It's going to happen. It's going to be painful, and then the show's just going to end, and you're going to laugh about it.
And there's at least a sense of, like, it's funny, but they try to balance it with, you know, the show's been so grounded up to that point. Well, I can't even say that. He still seems like a human being who's gone through a huge amount of damage, not a cartoon character who will be fine in the next scene. You have to at least have a week to recover rather than later in this episode you're fine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I didn't mention, I think this is the second episode to air on the BBC, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, interesting.
This is the second one, the Brito song.
Mm-hmm. They got it in like 95.
Gotta stop saying that. That is not my term.
It's my term.
I know.
My copyright. Okay.
So I guess that's it for Talking Simpsons this week. Mm-hmm. I am your host, Bob Mackey, as always. You can find me at Bob Servo on Twitter. I also do Retronauts, a classic gaming podcast, and I write for usgamer.net. Please check all that stuff out. Who else wants to talk about what they do?
I'm Chris Antiste, and I host the Laser Time Show, which all of these little misfits on microphone of appeared with me before as co-hosts. Yeah, I'm not going to plug what's happening now because I don't even know.
Well, I mean, this episode, this podcast is brought to you by the Laser Time Patreon, patreon.com/lasertime.
Which helped us get to 200 episodes, which we just did and celebrated with a live Q&A. But before that, our 100th episode, if you've never heard it, we just decided to call Simpsons reference because we had a timer for a little while for how long it took every show for someone to make a Simpsons reference. And hopefully it'll never happen again. There's an outlet.
If you want to hear that first season of us talking about the first season, that's all on the Patreon for $5 a month.
It's good stuff. Fritz.
I host VGEmpire.com, which is a website. Mm-hmm. And then the podcast is at VG Empire, a game music podcast. Mm-hmm. We recently did a month-long of Mega Man episodes. We just did Spyro 1, 2, and 3. But yeah, it just recently passed its 100th episode. So check out the website or check us out on iTunes or Twitter.
That's it for us this week. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Take it easy, everybody.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.